Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truth so we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider. Together, we will explore these truths through humor, conscious conversation, poetry, music, skits, and hopefully your comments, because you can call in at 888. Get your pen, 888-627-6008. And we'll give you that number in just a little bit, because I think you're going to be very excited and eager to participate when you hear what our program is about.
And tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic, raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Yummy. Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods and in the organic section of Costco. And we just found out at Trader Joe's, for those of you who are listening in Mongolia, we just opened a new Trader Joe's there. Anyway, go to raw.com and to find a store near you and find out more about the Go Raw products.
Well, tonight we have an audience of two very lovely people sitting with us here at Lupin, and hopefully we'll get some words of wisdom from them during the show.
Or they don't have to be wisdom. They can just be like, you know,
ridiculous. Like us.
You know, efforts to try and make sense of the whole thing, which is not easy a lot of times.
Tonight we're going to be dealing with
playing our parts, your part in particular.
Well, you know, I absolutely love the movies. No part that I witness or am called upon to play is less worthy of my time and appreciation. It's all wonderful. I remember the moment I realized that life as we live it is really no different from all the movies, plays, TV shows I have loved and still love, except I get to be the star and supporting player. I get to do bit parts, I get to direct, and even write the screenplays as I move through life. I cry in the movies. I love the wonder as if it were mine. I live it. I'm very impressionable. I allow myself to be touched. Good actors who make every nuance of their being feel real are real, and allow me to feel them, and do I ever. Aren't all actors real, you might say? No, because being real means being vulnerable. And in our world, being vulnerable is very dangerous. Be soft and you're devoured, like the slower does and antelopes in the Serengeti when the lions are hungry. I like to see and feel what lies within every facade. I like to feel life and receive its various colors, shapes, marvel at its subtlety. I can do anything and play any part really well when I am totally me. It's just about rearranging the parts of me. Like the part of me that gets angry is not the forefront of how I am seen, but given the right situation, I can get really angry. I don't take it seriously. When the next scene comes back, I don't have to take my angry scene with me. One might think playing a part is being phony, but knowing that everyone is playing a part, and many parts at that, makes enjoying life that much more possible. In other words, I don't have to take it all seriously, but I can enter into whatever part I'm called on to play with full conviction, because I will do my best to let my light, which is truly who I am, so shine forth.
Another opening, another show.
In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello.
Another omen of another soul. Another opening, another show in Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show. Another job that you hope at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow. Another opening of another show. 4 weeks, you'll rehearse and rehearse. 3 weeks, and it couldn't be worse. 1 week, will it ever be right? Then out of the hat, it's that big first night.
Overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. Curtain time and away we go.
Another opening, another show in Philly, Boston, or Baltimore.
A chance for stage folks to say hello.
Another opening of another show. Another job that you hope at last will make your future forget.
Cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
You think that every morning when you wake up?
Absolutely. I gotta admit, no, I think it. I start singing and dancing that song.
It's a new day. We're going to be called upon to play our part as well as possible.
I did that show. That's from Kiss Me, Kate. That's actually the original Broadway production. And I did that show in Greenville, Carolina in 1965.
When you were just three?
I was one and a half. I was the little baby in the scene where they have the suckling baby. That would be me.
I could just see you now.
That was the beginning of my suckling career.
Burping your way into notoriety.
But I remember that that was funny because I think it was during that show or another show. In summer stock, you do a show every night and you rehearse every day. And you're busy. You're going all the time. And one night, I guess it was in the middle of that show, my roommate and I went back to have dinner for the show and we drank a little wine, and I came back, and we're doing that number, another opening out of the show. And people are laughing at me off stage, and I'm thinking, I must be doing something funny. That's great. I'm feeling really good. And when the number was over, they said, well, you were about a half a count behind everybody else during the entire number. So that was a good lesson. Never drink before a show, another show.
No, never do anything before a show. Never take... And because your timing is off, and everything has to do with timing.
In fact,
everything in life has to do with timing, but we don't realize it.
Well, that's another show, timing.
No,
timing
your part is like, that's a big part of it.
Well, part of the reason why we're focusing on playing your part is that often we play out different roles, which may or may not be reflective or expressive of who we actually are. So... that's one side of it. So we're going to take a look at that in just a few minutes. And then the other side of it is I have this deep and profound sense, which is often affirmed inside me, that there is a role that I'm being asked to play, which is the most authentic role that I could ever play. And that indeed, if I wake up and I become conscious, that role is calling to me. And so we're going to take a look at that a little bit later in our program about that amazing role that all that requires is that we be exactly who we are.
Aha, but that leads us a question.
Yes.
Like, how does one go about knowing who they are? I mean, we covered this in a few programs back when we talked about, like, being a child was when you're so innocent that you don't have a whole bunch of facades placed upon you. And you just are. You know, you're not playing out any part other than your original part, which is to be a lovely little human. And then we take on all these roles that are, a lot of them are foisted upon us by circumstances, by our ancestors, situations that we have no control over lots of times, and definitely being betrayed, which we talked about last week.
Well, let's get into a little bit more about some kind of the roles that we can play out and are expected to play out. For example, in relationships, in marriage relationship. This is a scene from our show, original show that we wrote and produced, traveled around the country. It's called, the show is called Family Baggage. And this particular scene is called Roles of Our Lives. And this is a clipping from the live stage production, which was done in Boulder, 89. Ooh, that's scary. Anyway, here we go.
Welcome to this afternoon's episode of Roles of Our Lives, the timeless drama we repeat in our lives over and over and over and over and over.
You have your script?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Good. Let's start on page 33 with your line. With my line. I've got some prospective clients coming over tonight about 8, and then you do your lines.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay, great. Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
I've got some prospective clients coming over tonight about 8.
Then you'd better let me get things ready.
Wait a minute. I want to talk to you about your wearing. You need to wear something more conservative. How about that silk dress?
Yeah, but see, my character wants to dress for comfort.
That's what's wrong with your character. She has no sense of propriety. Now, these are very important buyers, and their script says they can only buy from people who look like they do, which is very conservative, okay?
Conservative, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
conservative. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, also, the last time we entertained clients, you said some pretty asinine things.
You can be so cruel, sitting in judgment on me, criticizing me.
Hold it.
What?
I don't want you to say the lines like that.
Well, how do you want me to say them?
I want you to feel more guilty when you say them.
Why do I feel guilty here?
Because you're mad at yourself for being angry at me. And also, you are afraid of losing me. So, that's what the scene's about. So try it, will you?
Yeah, got it. Okay. That's not fair. You can be so cruel, sitting in judgment on me, criticizing me.
I don't want you to make a fool out of yourself again.
Who are you to tell me not to make a fool out of myself?
Please, stick to the script.
Well, why are you getting angry with me?
Because you're feeling guilty, aren't you? I want you to really express the guilt so that my character feels justified in attacking you. Get it?
Why do you need to attack me here?
Because that's the way it's written, all right? Now quit ad-libbing and please stick to the script. You do want the part, don't you?
Okay, I'll try.
Good.
Now, let's go over to my script.
Your script?
Do I need to remind you our marriage contract states that for every one of your scripts we do one of mine. Okay, now I want you to turn over to page 21.
21.
And yeah. Now, I want you to start with the line where you've just brought me a gift to express the gratitude you feel for me because I called in sick for you.
Gratitude. My character isn't feeling gratitude. My character is feeling angry because it's your character's damn fault he got drunk in the first place.
Well, my character happens to think your character is full of shit.
Who wouldn't get drunk living with a continual nagging bitch?
My character may seem like a continual nagging bitch, but you have to remember that my character is desperately unhappy because of your character's drinking. Now, this is my script, and in my script, you promise you'll never drink again.
My character has no intention of keeping that promise.
Well, look, all my character wants is for you to say it and sound like you mean it. That way she can go on pretending things are going to change.
I can do that. I promise I won't ever drink. Let me try it again.
Yeah,
okay. I can do better. Okay. I promise I'll never, ever drink again.
Oh, honey, that's just the way
is
I want
good?
It played. Oh, you're so terrific.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right. Good. Now I want to skip over to the scene with Betty.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like the way you played it last time, and I've made some changes in the script, okay?
Which one?
Page 43.
Oh, okay. Right.
Now, the way we did it last time, she got off the chair before she finished her meal, and you didn't say anything.
Oh.
Okay, now you see where I've added some lines?
Okay, uh-huh.
Let's pick it up when she gets off the chair, and I'll read her lines.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
Betty, get back on that chair.
But, Mommy, I'm not hungry.
You have to eat your dinner. Hey, but you know, that's not fair. Maybe she's not hungry.
She has to eat. Get it? Look, that is the script my mommy gave to me. That is the script we're gonna give to her.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Now do it the way I've written it.
All right. Betty, get up here, and if you don't eat, then you have to go to bed right now.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, continue.
Okay. Do you hear me?
But Mommy...
That's the way your daddy wants it.
But I don't like chicken.
Never mind. Chicken is what we're serving. Chicken is what you'll eat.
Oh, that was so much better, sweetheart.
Oh.
That was a big improvement.
Oh, thanks. Okay, honey, now let's turn over to page 137.
137? What scene is that?
Oh, you know, that's the scene when the public service man has parked his car behind mine in the driveway, and your character needs to be very decisive in this scene. He's got to be very firm. Yeah.
But that's not how my character would act.
Well, I know that's not how your character has behaved in the past, but I'm changing your character in this scene. Now, let's pick it up with your line, I'll get the bastard to move his ass, okay? Just pick it up with that one right there, yeah.
Where did you get that line? My character has never said a line like that.
From my father. He used to do that. He was very strong. He wouldn't be intimidated by some creep.
But this character isn't your father. He's your husband.
I know. That's the whole point. I want him played more like my father. Now, what kind of character do you want my character to think of you? You want to be some coward, some sniveling coward? Is that what you want me to think of you?
No.
Then play it the way I've written it, okay?
Okay.
Go on.
Okay.
Go on.
I'll get that bastard to move his ass.
Okay, that's better. that's better, but I want you to work on that line, okay? But let's go on, and I'll read his lines, okay? Okay, go on. Okay, go on.
Okay. Hey, buddy, you better get your truck out of our driveway, will you?
This is the only place to park it. I got some work to do, and it'll only take half an hour.
Okay.
No! Don't say okay! Come on now. Tell him to move it. Let's read the lines.
Yeah,
come on, do it.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
Look, I want you to move it now, or I'm going to move it for you. Get it?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets me so excited.
Yeah.
Okay, now I want you to go up to him. Good. He says, hey, back off, Matt, before I get really mad.
Okay. I want you off my property. I can't say it. I can't do it.
Okay. Guess we'll have to come back to this later. Let's turn to page 46.
That's the one we're in bed.
I know. It's your character's favorite scene.
Oh, yeah.
I'll start the lines.
Okay.
Okay. Jerry.
Huh.
More.
Oh.
Do it more.
Oh.
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 God,
oh.
No man has ever made me feel the way you do.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh,
I love you.
Oh,
you. God. Oh, God.
Oh.
Don't stop. Don't stop.
Oh.
You satisfy me so much.
Oh.
Let me satisfy you.
Oh, that feels so good.
Okay, now that's the part. Isn't it worth it, Jerry?
Don't stop.
But we're not on that scene. We're on page 137, the public service man scene. Come on. Come on now. Read it as it's written. Come on.
Okay, all right. All right, you better get your truck out of my driveway, or if you don't, I'm gonna kick your ass!
Oh,
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 oh. Yeah.
Well,
it was good.
I think that's all we need to work on today.
Oh.
Ooh, that was a draining rehearsal. I think we both did what each other expected,
Ooh,
huh?
I was pleased. Yeah. Did you make lunch?
When did I have a chance to make lunch? We've been busy rehearsing.
Yeah, but we always have lunch after rehearsal, and I'm hungry.
Yeah, but I haven't had
a
chance.
All right, damn it. Turn to page 81 in my script.
Oh, come on, not now.
Look, I didn't space out making lunch, you did.
Oh.
Now let's start with your line at the top, and let's get it right, go
okay.
on.
No, I didn't. When did I have time to make lunch? We've been busy rehearsing.
But I'm hungry, we always have lunch after rehearsals.
Yes, but I didn't
Look,
get
Look, I didn't space out making lunch, you did. Now let's start with your line at the top, and let's get it right, go on.
No, I didn't. When did I have a chance to make
Look,
lunch?
I'm
We've been
hungry.
Busy rehearsing.
I didn't space out making lunch.
Yes, but I didn't get a chance to do that.
Well, that's it takes you back a bit, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about scripts handed down from generation to generation, you know, as I was listening to that for the probably 100th time in my life or more times than that. And it's so true. There was a time I remember listening to something I was saying as a teenager and realizing I wasn't saying it, it was my mother who was saying it. I mean, it came from her mouth. And I wondered if it had come from my grandmother's mouth, too. And I realized at that moment that I didn't want to be playing that script over and over again. I wanted to write my own script. I wanted to play my own script and play my own part in it.
It takes some courage to step out and play your own part, doesn't it?
Yes, it did. It took a lot of courage. The thing is that I couldn't do it in front of my family. It was like I had to have a secret life, you know, like I walked away from, I was with them physically and saying yes to everything, all their dictates. But at the same time, knowing that that wasn't me, it had nothing to do with me. And I just chose to be who I was. And, you know, of course, at that time I wanted to act on stage and I did. I just began to get parts and do what I wanted to do.
Let me remind you, this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth. We're broadcasting from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, California, where we've had a beautiful day. And we're delighted to have a couple guests, our neighbors who actually live near here. Gordy and Sarah, thanks for joining us. At any point, if you get a comment or a question, just, you know, yell at Rochelle. She'll be happy to
I can take all yelling.
She can take all yelling. I'm a kind of a soft-skinned kind of guy. That's the role I play anyway. And our sponsor is Go Raw Foods. You can call us at 888-627-6008. And maybe you've discovered some roles in your lives that you have not appreciated having had to play and are looking for a new role. Because the new role to me, which actually isn't a role at all, I mean, there's something to be said that most all of this is a play, as Shakespeare is famous for having said, the bathroom is over there to the right.
The exit is over there to the right. All the world is a stage, and all the men and women are merely players.
Merely players. And I looked up that speech as I anticipated doing this show, and he talks about going through seven stages from the puking baby all the way back to the puking
old person.
old person, yes. And so there we are. We have this opportunity, but to play our authentic self. But the first thing we have to do is catch ourselves in the act, so to speak, of portraying and acting out parts that are, well, not us to begin with. Often not productive, not joyful, not happy. And one of the things that locks you into, I believe, playing a part that is probably not your best part is when we take ourselves too seriously, which is why I have this thought that when you can laugh at yourself, you're too slippery for your ego to get a hold of you. And indeed, the ego is that false sense of self that is a contrivance based upon all the reaction patterns we've developed in order to get through life with the least amount of pain and the most amount of pleasure.
Well, there's something very, when we say play the part, I know I remember telling somebody about playing a part once, and she took offense. She thought playing a part meant like that you were being not real. You know, you were playing a part. And I said to her, no, but that's not true. When an actor plays a part, they're not unreal. It's not unreal to a good actor. It's because what happens is everyone has within them everything that every other person has within them. It's just we have to rearrange ourselves. It's not like you pretend or make it up. It's inside you. And so when you playing your part, the part, it's like moment to moment, you could do anything, you know, like you're called upon to do something and you get into it fully and you immerse yourself into it and find joy in it and find that moment to moment wonder in any action that you may partake of. And when you're doing that, in a sense, you're playing a part, even though the facade isn't the facade as much as it is like when you're scrubbing dishes. You know, you don't walk through life scrubbing dishes. But when you're scrubbing the dishes and you're cleaning the dishes and you really get into cleaning the dishes, so you're now a dish cleaner, right? But there's something joyful about it as you immerse yourself fully into the action. And so that's the part you're playing. But you're aware that you're more than that. At any time, you're more than the part you're playing. And to me, that's freedom. Freedom from the part as well as immersion into the part. Does that make any sense at all? If it doesn't make sense, speak now. Or
does it make sense to our guest or does it confound you? I'm getting a thumbs up. I'm getting kind of a sort of a thumb sideways from Sarah. She's kind of waving her hand. How about you out there? Can you relate to this? Maybe this might be another way of taking a look at it. We have a piece that Rochelle's going to do called Where Do I Fit In? So
yeah, because if what I said, which is so like just words, confound you, we'll put it into a poetry so that you really can get it clearly.
This is not poetry. This is a character, a young girl going through a questioning about her role, in fact. And I think when we're teenagers, that's really the time for the big questioning as our whole psyche is changing, our brain chemistry is changing, everything is changing, and we don't know who we are, as expressed by this character in Where do I fit in?
Where do I fit in? I mean, is there a notch somewhere waiting for me? Must I whittle myself down to its size and shape? Or will the notch adjust to me? Or both? Will it grow as I grow? My parents say, be such and such and so. Oh, shall I shape myself to the notch which they've designed, or to the one structured by tradition? I mean, how good a craftsman is it? But yet, if I had to pick my own, what shape notch would I make? You know, I'm a little frightened by that much freedom. Come on, help me shape it, someone reliable. Because I take tests to see what shape I am. Aptitudes, they call it. They've shaped me into an artistic nurse who likes goldfish, is an atheist, and wants a family of 15 children. But I happen to hate hospitals. And what if I change? Can I switch notches or just become uncomfortable in the one I'm put in? That's what happens to a lot of people, isn't it? They shape themselves early to fit a certain notch, and then they change, but they stay in the same notch. Oh, that feels like hell. Well, I'm not so sure I want to be in a notch. And maybe I don't have to. But yet, I'm being shaped for something. What is it? I mean, I do exist in time and space. I must have a shape. Well, now at least. I must fit somewhere. It seems like everyone wants to get you into your notch as soon as possible. And once you're in the notch, you're put away, no longer a threat. Otherwise, to them, you'd be like trying to catch a piece of paper as it flows through the air. Or like picking up a loose football. Yeah, yeah, everyone wants to pin you down, stop your movement, bag you. Oh, I guess they've got their reasons, though. Maybe to justify their own notches. Yeah, they shape themselves, pick their holes, and maybe they're not sure. But if they can get you into the same size and shape notch, they'll feel that what they've done is okay. Well, something deep inside me tells me that I'm being shaped to be someone who can't really fit into any notch. Something like the air, free and moving. Oh, it's kind of vague, I'll admit, but somehow it seems more real than a notch, because it changes and it grows and it's alive.
I was never one for singing. What I really feel, except tonight I'm bringing everything I know that's real. Stars, they come and go. They come fast or slow. They go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory. Hey, but it gets lonely there when there's no one here to share. We can shake it away. If you hear a story, people lust for fame like athletes in a game. We break our collarbones and come up swinging. Some of us are downed, some of us are crowned, and some are lost and never found. Most have seen it all. They live their lives in sad cafes and music halls. They always come up singing. Some make it when they're young, before the world has done its dirty job. Later on, someone will say, you've had your day, now you must make way. But they'll never know the pain of living with a name you never owned, or the many years forgetting what you know too well, that the ones who gave the crown have been let down. You try to make amends without defending, perhaps pretending you never saw the eyes of grown men of 25 that follow as you walk and ask for autographs or kiss you on the cheek. And you never can believe they really loved you. Some make it when they're old. Perhaps they have a soul they're not afraid to bear. Or perhaps there's nothing there. Stars, they come and go. They come fast, they come slow. They go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory. But most have seen it all. They live their lives in sad cafes and music halls. They always have a story. Some women have a body men will want to see, and so they put it on display. Some people play a fine guitar. I could listen to them play all day. Some ladies really move across the stage, and cheer, they shook and dance. I guess I could learn how if I gave it half a chance. But I always feel so funny.
I wonder sometimes when I'm alone if the world will open up. There are so many doors and locks and keys. I have my keys and the chains to hang them on. Still, so many doors. Some doors won't close while others close me out. People are doors, often, aren't we? Closed doors. I have no keys for them. I barely have enough courage to even knock or to scrape the paint off. People doors, covered over, layer upon layer. I wonder sometimes when I'm alone of others sitting alone, wondering about their aloneness, feeling themselves surrounded by closed doors, trying to determine if the light seeping through the crack really has any source.
Display, except the tune. Whatever else I say, but anyway, that isn't really what I meant to say. I meant to tell a story. I live from day to day. Stars, they come and go. They come in fast, they come slow, and they go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory, but most have seen it all. Live their lives in sad cafes and music halls.
Hmm.
That was Janice Ian. Did you recognize her?
I thought I did.
Remember Janice
yeah.
Ian? She was great. I love Janice Ian.
What's the name of that song?
Stars.
Wow.
And by the way, I want to mention in the script we did earlier from Family Baggage, Roles of Our Lives, the person who was playing the female character with me was Lou Montgomery. And Lou was the person with whom I co-wrote Family Baggage. And that happened because Lou, and she shares this as part of the show, she grew up in a home where there were two alcoholic parents. And she there was nothing but having to play a role for her. As a matter of fact, there's another scene in the show, which is available, by the way, on Vimeo, if you'd like to have seen it. Thousands of people have seen it, both live and on video around the country. But there's this scene where she goes, it's called Needing to Be Needed, and she goes through this array of attitudes and postures so that she can be needed, because that's how she got her strokes as a child, I guess, or whatever role we're playing that keeps us from fully expressing who we are and the creativity that comes with being authentically who we are, especially in relationship to that which created us.
You know, I think I've shared this before, but I had that epiphany, you know, me miss epiphany. I like to have an epiphany at least once a day to know that I'm alive.
We have epiphanies like in the oddest times. And Rochelle's, by the way, Rochelle's very epiphanous.
And I'm an epiphanous person.
It is catching. So it, with that regard, go ahead. I want to hear about your epiphany.
So this epiphany was not too long ago, actually. It was less than a year ago. And I was just going through stage, like we all go through, you know, where you kind of like, you're moving from one place and you feel your skin moving into another place and you come on and it feels a little uncomfortable. And I asked the question to the universe, you know, who am I really? You know, who am I really? Because this part of mother, the part of wife, the part of housekeeper, the part of actress, even the part
slave
of,
to your husband, that part.
Oh, yes, that part is always the most enjoyable one, of course.
That's the main part.
And then, you know, that all the various roles I played in my life, which are many. And so I said, who am I really? And then I went and took a shower, and I came out of the shower, and I was looking in the mirror, and my face felt like it disappeared. It was like all the features of my face disappeared. I was not stoned. I was really just came out of a shower. And what was in place was this bright light. It was just a light emanating. And I looked at it, and it was quite startling, and I heard a voice in my head, and then it said, that's who you are. And then the light was gone, and my features came back. And it was startling because it happened. It was like one of those things that people call a what? An epiphany.
An epiphany. And that's why if you think back to the movie Cocoon, do you remember those beings?
Yes, yes.
Michelle played the part of the light.
So it was quite startling, but at the same time, I was filled with joy and wonder at the thought that I didn't have to be defined. You know, there was no definition in that light. It was just bright and pulsating. And I realized to be that, to truly be that, to really be aware of the nature of that light and what it means without having it be defined was so freeing. I felt freedom, huge sense of freedom. So to me, the best part to play is a part that has no part.
No part. Well, let me add, that brings me to a question in the form of a poem. Let me ask you all out there, who are you? Do you know? Can you stand up and be seen or cringe amidst a thicket of poor self-images? Who are you? Can you decide? Or are too many voices pushing you into erroneous roles? Who are you? Can you discern? Or is it too elusive to be confrontive? Who are you? Can you accept? Or is your definition always falling short of yesterday's ideals? Who are you? Can you believe that you are, and that there is only one of you in the universe? Wow! Can you experience that you are irreplaceable in infinity? Who are you? Can you be humble enough to know that you are the offspring of the source of life, love itself? Or are you, well, too proud to accept yourself as an unlimited, growing storehouse of divine creativity? Who are you?
Boys, let's do the ballet combination. First group of girls, second group follow. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Chorus.
From Chorus Line. Yes, I couldn't resist. I really need this job. And starting my life off as a dancer, ballet dancer, I really can relate to that that situation of auditioning. And I was always kind of like slow because I didn't start dancing till I was 19. And I went to a women's college. I may have shared this on the show. Talk about a switch of roles and not living up to roles of your culture. And how we're identified by externals, being a ballet dancer and living in Missouri. it was definitely interesting to have to break that expectation. I remember one summer, my parents had a gift store in the suburbs of St. Louis, Missouri, and I was the wrapping boy and the cleaning up guy, and I used to have to dust literally thousands of little figurines and plates and dishes and stuff. I hated it.
And you hate it to this day.
You noticed. Rochelle says, you will dust. I said, well, not dust. But anyway, I found myself in the theater, and I had the opportunity of going to the summer theater camp, which was in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, to study dance and acting. And I remember I got this pressure from my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, and to, you know, you stay with your family, you know, they need your help. You got to work with them. That's your role. And that was an important crisis moment for me because I had to make a choice. And I said, you know, as Gene Kelly says in Singing in the Rain, gotta dance.
Gotta I'm sure they appreciated that a whole lot. My boy, I wanted him to be a doctor, and what is he doing? He's
dancing.
He's dancing in my gift shop.
In the gift shop. Not only that, in the gift shop, in the front of the gift shop, there was like a little space about, you know, yay big, 6 feet by 6 feet, between the milk glass and the other the glass Wedgwood stuff, the Wedgwood China. And I used to practice my pirouettes there. And then I could see them in the back like, oh, my God, my son, what have we done? And it was only going to get worse.
Yes, it did.
As I entered upon my spiritual sojourn and discovered realities, presences, principles, ideas, and experiences that were kind of way beyond the conventional Jewish upbringing that I had, and to which my family would have preferred that I remained.
Well, you know, I go back to playing a part, you know, like, I don't think we play it so much. I think it's thrust upon us for lots of reasons. I think we play parts to survive, you know, like, you see people with a certain bravado, you know, a certain kind of like tough person bravado, you know, not just men, women too. And it has to do with survival, you know, it's like get through life, you know. So we play parts to survive. We play parts more than survive is to get something, you know, but not just for survival, for like appreciation, you know, like kids will see me, see me, see me, you know, and play out these parts so that they get pats on the heads from their parents, or they get something nice, gifts or whatever. You know, the minute you get rewarded, so that part got a reward, so you'll keep playing that part, you know. Then you're the prankster or the jokester of the family because you get rewarded, so you'll play the part again and again. And also sometimes just to be seen, you play a part, and what you've played is like a bad person part, like a part of mischievousness, but you get seen. Even though you're getting punished, you get seen, and being seen becomes so important that that part is reinforced. So these parts for survival more than anything else, the survival of the ego, the survival of our corporeal self sometimes, foist a lot of parts upon us, I think.
I want to talk about this deeper, authentic role that we are called to play, and which is one of the main...
Do you want to, or will you?
Let me think. I will. I will.
Good. I'm glad, because you just want to do. We could have gone home.
I know. It's like, hello, is your mommy there? Yes. Could you get her? Oh, okay. Yes. All right. I got it. But before I do that, I want to remind you that I'm Errol Strider.
And this is Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And we're doing a show from Los Gatos, California. And we'd love for you to come out.
Lupin Lodge.
Where, as we say, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
And we're on 110 acres of beautiful wooded land right now. Of course, it's dark, but nevertheless, we know that they're out there.
And we have some lovely neighbors with us right now, for which we're glad. Hope you're enjoying being with us. And some of our closest neighbors are the ones that eat our plants. Jack and his wife, Mary, they just come over and munch away.
our deer.
Our deer.
They play the part of deers very well.
But there's,
I mean, it's totally convincing. It convinced me every morning that they are truly dear.
I want to speak to this part of this being, because my sense of our experience here is that we live in this mortal frame. I think even Shakespeare uses that word. And like a first or second stage of a rocket, as it's bursting through the atmosphere into outer space, it comes off. It served its purpose. And we get lighter and lighter. And I really believe and am confident that as we break out of the limitations of the narrow roles we've placed in ourselves, and the last but not least is our identification with our bodies. And the bodies are slippery at best because, as you say, often as not, that, you know, we have a very different body now than you've had in all the different stages of our life. But what our sense is here is that as we're living in this life, we are literally building a different and new self, which, because it is integrated with the fundamental realities of life, love and the true substance of existence, and to the degree to which the choices I make in my life are consistent with that fundamental love, that is what grows my soul, if you will.
So one would say that you're here, maybe here to grow your soul, and that is an indefinable or undefinable aspect of our beings that we don't really know much about, other than sometimes we can sense that there's something beside our corporeal self that exists.
But either way, you
put it. That's one way of putting it.
Anyway, you put it. As we're reminded here in this song, you got to move.
You may be rich, you may be poor, may be at peace, you may be at war, but when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Oh, you gotta move, you gotta move, boy. You gotta move, child, you gotta move. And when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Oh, yes, you may sing mantra. Whoa. You may sing blues. Mm-hmm. You may tell yourself you got something to lose. But when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Ooh. Oh, you got to move.
That was Deva Premal and Mitten, M-I-T-E-N. I originally heard her sing. She has this wonderful song. Let me see, what's it called here? It's got a, here we go, typing in, Chittananda. And it's a chant. It's just gorgeous.
And if you like chants.
If you like chants.
Yes. Yeah,
well, you know what? With a chant, you have to kind of take a chance.
Oh, just, God, I knew you were going to say something like that.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. Yeah. I think we got a thumbs down on that one.
Really? Can we? Kind of wobbly. Okay, well, we do our best, you know. Part of what is involved in this show is the silliness. But
I think you have to play many parts in life to come to the place where the authentic self has a chance to emerge, which in a sense is the sum and substance of all the parts you've ever played in your life. I think there's something wonderful about growing old because of that, because you have, like, you realize that you've played all these parts, you know, and now you're here, and all those parts are part of who you are at this moment in time, and so you're full of parts. Just when you're falling apart.
Yeah. So that's what they mean by when you're full of it. They really mean you're full of parts that can be eliminated, so to speak.
Oh, my goodness, dear.
Yeah, this is what they call it, eschatological humor?
Yeah.
Psychological.
Terrible. I think it's a better word,
bad
terrible.
Word. Terrible humor, right? Yeah, terrible humor.
We're going to put a
muffle on you. Well, anyway, we got to sign off. Check with us next week, 7 Thursday, Tuesday night, and we'll be with you again with a wonderful program, and we'll announce it in our email and on Facebook. So thanks so much for being with us, and good night, and we'll be with you again soon.